Hello everyone, welcome to The Fur. I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex. Hey. And we've decided that after listening to some other podcasts, you know, sometimes it's useful to introduce yourself so you can tell the difference between the two voices.
Whatever.
Hello and welcome to The Firm, a very special episode of The Firm, brought to you by the Shepherd's Guild.
Yeah, technically, we got the card early, because we're in the media group, and that's one of the perks, you know, so we can review them early and get it out. Unfortunately, we're not able to review them until Friday, after everyone else already got them. So, shall we start at the very beginning? The Captain, Foundation of Any Guild. I'll let you do that. You've got a better copy than me.
So we're gonna do this differently to all the other ones, because every single time we think we found a format that works and figure it doesn't work. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna do a not a full card read. We're gonna try and speed through it, and then we're gonna talk about how they've been on it.
You know the card.
Yeah. You know the cards by now. This is just a general refresher because we've played a game with them each, and we're gonna be going into that, and that's gonna be the meat and potatoes. This is merely the mint sauce on the side, or the token broccoli.
Yeah, the mint on the lamb.
Yeah. You're too proud of yourself. That smug little face. So we've got Herder, who she is a human female captain. She's a Reaper, which is going to be very important because we've got that 2 damage at the front of all the books except for the mascot and the striker, as with we have with the farmers, which are the major guild for these miners. We have Herder. She's a 2-inch melee, 6-9 move, 7 attack, 3-8 kick. Defense armor is 4-0, and then she's got a 3-6 influence. 7 long playbook on a 7 attack. So on the playbook, like the Reapers in the Farmers, she's got a momentous 2-on-1. Then we've also got the momentous push dodge lowdown. She's got a lowdown tackle, and then when you get up to the top of the end, we've got a big scary orange 4 and a tackle double dodge. But we've got some nice in the middle. We've got some on my mark sprinkled through for the Guild Ball result. Her character play, on my mark, is target other friendly model, may make a pass without spending influence, and she can either buy that for 3 or hit it off the Guild Ball result, which you can get non-momentously low down, momentously a bit higher up, and it's 6-inch range on that. So we've got some nice sort of football shenanigans moving about a bit, you know, similar to Bushel, who's one of the farmers that you can bring across with I'm open. You know, you've got some nice out of activation pass nonsense going on there. Character traits on the back of the card, we've got Protect the Ball, which is a 6-inch pulse. So once per turn, she can pick up a friendly harvest marker within 2 and remove it, and then everyone within 6 inches of her, all her friendlies, get close control, which works nice with the sort of football aspect of on my mark, but you know, they've got momentous damage. So, and then Sheep Become Shepherds is her penalty mechanic, because they've all got a penalty. If herd is taken out, then all of your friendly models are allocated their maximum influence.
Yeah,
pretty nice.
And finally, legendary.
And then last but not least, we have the legendary rest up. So you choose one of your friendly models within 4 inches. It suffers a taken out condition, and the enemy team doesn't get VP from the takeout.
A very unusual legendary, Alex. Why would you want to take out your own model? The thing I like about Captain Herder is that it gives you. She, just in that one kind of snapshot, gives you a general feel for what the Shepherds are really going for. Reaper shenanigans, where you get good damage early on. Not good damage, reliable damage.
That's it, because it's not explosive, it's not terrifying, but the fact that you can go, I've got 6 influence, I can reliably turn this into 12 damage.
Yeah.
I just need one hit, because the gap between the momentous 2 and the momentous 3, she's got she's hitting the 2-on-1, she's not hitting the 3 until she's hitting 4 hits, so you're looking for the crowd outs, but you know, they're going to be looking to scrum up if you're going for the takeouts, that's where they're going to be.
Their crowd out potential is really good. And on my match, good. Not really much to care about that. And come get to pass for you.
Yeah.
More importantly, can buy it.
Yeah, and they don't have to pass to you.
Yeah.
So you can use it to hit a snapshot off far away, you know, if you've got Shearer and Bushel working around together. And I'm finding it so hard, and I found it hard the entire game. Every time I was saying Shearer, to not go, Shearer! I got a couple of them out.
Football fan. if I only watch sports, I have a chance of someone potentially getting killed.
She's a 30 mil base as well. I neglected to mention that.
Standard in many ways, but really potent playbook. Non-momentum shot down, but quite reliable. 3 hit like that. 2-inch melee, always good.
Oh yeah.
And more importantly, Protect the Ball. Fucking absolutely rock solid if you play. The only thing that comes in is that generally in the Shepherd's Guild, it's hard to maximise harvest markers in the way the farmers can. Like, the farmers have so much harvest marker potential. It's very easy for them to, like, use them, but still put out more than what they've got.
And then Ploughman's throwing extra. Whereas,
the shepherds, by default, only get free without spending info. Mm. So they kind of come in, it's kind of like, oh, Havoc Marker, close control.
Yum, 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 yeah.
But Havoc Markers are not easy to come by in the guild, even with the crossover model. But, yeah, and sheep become the shepherd. It's like the the shepherd's mechanic, their guild rule.
Yeah, the I think they're calling it the punishment mechanic, yeah. Or the penalty, yeah.
They kind of experimented this with rat catching to an extent, where they had, like, you know, dilemma.
Yeah.
Like,
it seemed
to be like a key word. But, yeah, the fact that every model in the Shepherd's Guild has basically, if you die, you get a buff of some kind. And this is about good. This is one of I'd argue the best of the lot.
Mm.
Because you, in dire situations where you've got one activation, you can just stand Herder up, put six on her, and then just go, you know, I'm just going to swing.
Yeah.
And they can either kill me or not.
Well, what was great is when we were playing, you left her on one health, ticking over into the next turn. But once I'd allocated, because I'd lifted up a couple of harvest markers I wasn't going to be able to use, I was like, I've actually got enough to... I put six on Herder, because if you didn't go immediately and kill her, she was just going to delete Mitagi, because you were playing Hunters and you brought Mitagi along.
Yeah.
And then she was going to move on and possibly kill her. No, she was going to kill Hearn and then trying to kill Mitagi. That was it. She was going to... Because Hearn was on like two health, knocked down, crowded out by six people. Yeah. So that was the plan there. So I was forcing you to kill her, which just gives everyone everything in the world they have. So I've got a chance to come in and try and mop up after it. Yeah, it's a really, really awesome punishment mechanic as well, yeah. I didn't use Protect the Ball because, like you said, Harvest Markers were quite hard to come by and I wanted to use them on Hook and Crook, which we'll come down to when we get to them. I also liked using them on Shearer. So yeah, I didn't use Protect the Ball. I know you did, but...
I had that thing where, like, I had it, why not?
And I
knew that model was going to be Protection of the Ball, so it took it from a kind of, like... it gave a bit of insurance.
Yeah.
You were throwing engineers at me, and Spade were coming my way. I was like, I need all the help I can get, basically, to make sure that doesn't happen.
Totally.
But yeah, the foundation of the guild, absolutely, rock solid. Good move, and at the end of the day, 9-inch sprint, 3-8 kick.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that. If you're like vaguely mid-range in the pitch, you'll very likely get a goal out of that. Not much chunk here. A good chunk of health, but low defence, but that kind of like the farmer.
Oh yeah, 22 boxes, yeah. Didn't mention that.
I don't really have much here, because there's not that much outside of the punishment mechanic. But yeah. You'll kind of see where all this comes in, like if we go forward.
So moving on from the captain, I think it makes sense for us to move down to the mascot.
Yeah.
Because these are the two that you're always going to be bringing if you're playing the farmers. Babe, the little piggy. We've got 1-inch melee, 30mm base. This is a planter mascot. And we've got a 5-7 move, tack 3, 2-4 kick, defense and armor is 5-0, and influence is 1-2. The bottom of the playbook, we've got a momentous push. At the top, we've got momentous 2, and that's on 3 hits. And then in the middle, we've got a non-momentous tackle. And at the bottom, you know, we've got a non-momentous 1. Character plays, Bar Ram U, which costs 1, it's 6-inch range, and the target enemy model suffers a 2-inch push. So you have got a roll for it. Which is nice, only once per turn as well. And then we've also got droppings, which is a cost 1 character play, and this model may place a friendly harvest marker within 2. So as you were saying, you know, they've got 3 harvest markers for free, but Babe can drop one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then character traits, we got Heartless Brute. When an enemy model inflicts a taken out condition on Babe, they suffer singled out for the rest of the turn, which will stack with the next one, which is Loved Creature. The first time each turn, this model suffers damage from an enemy attack or play. Other friendly models gain +1 tack for the remainder of the turn.
Yeah.
And then the last one, we've got Pack Mentality, which is a 6-inch aura. When another friendly model within the 6 inches that isn't knocked down takes damage, it can make a 1-inch dodge directly towards Babe.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful, especially if you're then going to counterattack and with that dodge pulls you right out of their 2-inch melee or something. Maybe it's, I don't know, probably aren't going to use it every single game. Definitely not every single turn. Probably aren't going to use it every game, but it's, when it comes in handy, it really comes in handy.
Yeah, it's free of charge, and it's quite a difficult thing to ignore when, again, it don't come off often, but when it does come up, it's something you've got to deal with. And 9 times out of 10, in situations where you're really desperate for damage, even though knocked down is a terrible condition to have, sometimes you're happy forcing the knockdown, knowing they can't take damage on that first attack. So that, even that, just a bit of a nice way to like kind of buff people up a bit and stop them from getting hit too many times. Yeah, Baramu, solid 2-inch push. Not really much on that. It's kind of a shame we got a roll for it, because again, a lot of people will get a common theme of the other minor guilds, well, just getting stuff for free. That was particularly true of the miners, who were very push heavy.
Yeah.
But they get a lot of like tune target stuff. But to ignore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you've got the influence to burn, which if you put all five Ivers back, you might have more than you know what to spend on.
Mm.
But dropping, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I actually used either of Babe's character plays in the entire game where I had the Shepherd. I know you've used them a couple of times.
Yeah.
You set up for a kill with Baro Mew, which was nice. You know, pulled someone out of cover, I believe, and then close towards your death bubble.
Tried to get that bonus time, knock it out of cover, get into range. And like, okay, I can nice little push on one.
if you get it, a nice little
momentum push on the pick.
Yeah, probably took quite a back seat for both of us. I don't think we really played him in. I mainly used Babe as a crowd out. And apart from that, it was just to try and make you forget about Love Creature, so I was getting extra dice every turn.
Yeah, the thing about Babe is that the Heartless Brute can be, if I think you're going to get activations afterwards, but Heartless Brute fits in the same corridor Love Creature does, because it's effectively the same role.
Mm.
You know, do damage, you get attack. So in the situation to kind of avoid damage with Love Creature, I'd also avoid a Heartless Brute. So the second I thought you're out of there, I could just walk in and go, all right, fine. I'll just run through Babe.
Yeah, just seven boxes, but 5-0, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, five defence is the magic number, isn't it? Puts you in the danger zone.
You do. It could. I don't think Babe, that rule is as much a defence as people think it. People might think it. But, fuck yeah, I'll take it. Like, yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. So we'll move on to Lamb, who's another one of the squaddies. This is a planter. He's a 30mm base, 2-inch melee, he's 5-7 move, attack 4, 3-6 kick, defense armor is 3-0, and then his influence is 2-3. At the bottom of the book, we've got the non-momentous 2, because he's a planter. At the top of the book, on 4 hits, we've got the non-momentous 3. At the top, he's also got a momentous double push, and at the bottom, he's got a momentous guild ball result, which can be used for any of his 3 character plays. We've also got a push, a momentous push on 2 hits, and then we've got a knockdown towards the top of his book and a tackle towards the bottom. Yeah. Character plays, this one is one he can buy for 1 influence, or you can hit off the momentous skill ball result. It's Warming Oven, a target friendly model, recovers 4 health, and that's 4-inch, which is really nice. You know, yeah. They've, like the farmers, they've got a lot of boxes, they've got a lot of beef to chew through, so it's nice to be able to just whoop, top that up on top of the throwing the healing out. We've got Sow the Seeds, which is another guild ball result. Can chuck out a harvest marker within 2 inches. And we've also got Weak Point for -1 armor on the target enemy model that he's attacking or counter-attacking. Character traits, we've got Planting Master. So once per turn, he can chuck out 2 harvest markers within 4 inches. And then Workhorse. If this model suffers the taken out condition, so this is his penalty mechanic, it may place up to 5 friendly harvest markers anywhere on the pitch.
Yeah, a very solid support piece. The player, he's got 4 tack, 4 hits on the playbook. And if you are going to be swinging with him, you're kind of looking for your Warming Oven, you're looking for Sow the Seed, you're looking for a Weak Point if it comes to it. Platinum Master and Workhorse, good. And Workhorse learn things where Herder's mechanic is a lot more valuable. Where, like at Lamb, like, you know, no pun intended, but he's quite a good sacrifice piece.
Because
Herder can just remove him from the game and immediately top up a 5 harvest marker.
That's it. So that's what we were saying when we're going through Herder. Oh, why could you possibly want to use the legendary? So this is one of the great uses that we found for Lamb. I used it on turn 1, actually, to set up for a turn 2 goal and some takeouts. No, sorry, at the bottom of turn 1.
Literally final activation turn 1.
Uses the legendary, kills off Lamb, tells him to take a lap. Chucks out 5 harvest markers.
Yeah, and the benefit of that Workhorse thing is that anywhere on the pitch.
Yeah.
So you can, like, if you know you're going to get a first turn, or you know your next activation coming, or like the pocket of the field you're quite secure in, you can do what you could never do with a farmer, which is like plan way ahead in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can go, well, I know this model's going to be 8-inch here, so that's the point they'll use the harvest marker. Then they'll go.
So, for example, there was a free ball towards the corner of the pitch, so I just planted a harvest marker right next to it off the back of this.
Yeah.
So Shearer had took his full 8-inch sprint over there, and he was then able to use his Reaper ability to take a 4-inch dodge off it. That, like you said, being able to plan ahead, being able to sow the seeds further away, that's...
Oh, okay. At the end of the day, if you felt like... If you just dive normally, probably not to turn your nose up at.
Hmm.
And better yet, one of the benefits, I think, of a lot of the way you kill the Shepherd, it's like your order of which you kill them kind of matters.
Hmm.
So a lot of them have things that just buff at all the other models. So you go, well, if I kill them last, I've negated the buff. Lambs and their ones don't really work that way. In fact, if you kill him last, it only ever helps the Shepherd player. Because not only do... If they have last activation, great, they can plan.
Mm.
If you get last activation, great, they can just get five influence for their turn.
Yeah.
So he kind of a slight inverse of that mechanic. You don't really buff anyone, but he kind of fucks with the order of how you can kill people. Yeah.
Best time to kill him is when they've already got five Harvest Markers out, because you can't move them.
Yeah.
That's literally
it. Ah, joke's on you, I
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm already way too... I've planned ahead way too much.
Yeah.
Ram.
So we'll move on to another squad here now. We've got Ram. We've got a 2-inch melee zone, a 40mm base. She's got a 5-7 move, attack 5, 3-6 kick, defense armor is 3-0, influence is 2 and 3. We're a planter, so at the bottom of the book it's a non-momentous 2, and at the top of the book she's got to get 5 hits before she hits the non-momentous 3. So Ram isn't really looking to do damage here. Ram's got 3 momentous results, so they're on 1, 2 and 3. They're a momentous knockdown, a momentous push and a momentous double push. So you can see that Ram is really looking for the knockdowns, pushing people around, controlling them. Character plays, we've got Impetus, which is a cost 1 to gain +2/+2 move, which is mainly to help with the top of her character traits, which we'll come back to. And then we've also got Guard the Flock, which is a 1 cost. It's got a 4-inch range. Target friendly model gains Protective Instinct. When engaging this model, an enemy model can't declare an attack against any other friendly model. So that's a great one to chuck on Babe and Force Love Creature, yeah, or something like that. And then character traits, we've got Battering Ram. Battering Ram.
You're really an uncle there.
Battering Ram. So during this model's advance, models whose bases are touched by this base immediately suffer a 4-inch push directly away. This model can only push each model once per turn with Battering Ram.
Well, thank God for that.
And then we've got Flock, which is a 4-inch pulse. When this model ends in advance, one other friendly model within the pulse may make a 2-inch dodge, which was huge in the games where we were playing. Have you any wood? And this is the penalty. If this model suffers a taken out friendly condition, other models gain 2 armor for the rest of the turn, which is huge in a guild with such little armor but quite high health. You know, if you've got to get through all of that to get to them, oh man. And then we've got planting season. This model's a planter, so they can chuck out a friendly harvest marker within 2 inches once per turn. We've also got 24 boxes. I've not got my glasses on. That 24, mate?
24.
24 boxes. Yeah.
I really like this model. I really looked up.
See, I think we've both got quite different opinions. For me, this is the first one to hit the bench to bring Bushel in.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. First off, walking at someone, where'd they go? Like,
It's perfect. It's really nice for that turn one. I guess just walks along the back line, you know. Here's a free, almost festival legendary.
Yeah, like, a lot of guilds have to go for a lot of trouble to get the kind of movement she can put out for free.
Mm.
Like, how many other guilds... I hit every model. I hit 3 models, for the sake of argument. I split the field up. I'll walk by 3 models. 12-inch worth of dodge.
Mm-hmm.
How many guilds... Oh, push, but effectively. Effectively 12-inch free movement.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can kind of choose the direction as well. How much would other guilds have to go through to get that much for free?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If enough... I literally just walking around. And it makes her push game ridiculous. If you're just a fraction out of someone's base, push them out 4, and then follow them up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you push for nothing, not down for nothing. Yeah. And extra movement to go on top of that. Easily can just annihilate Grum. Mess with Gil, who, if you've got terrible movement, can easily just screw your entire composition up. Yeah, it's fine for a lot of models, but if you run into like a granite or something, and I go, okay, yeah, I sprint out, okay, run into you, you're back out. And more importantly, because of the 4-inch push, you're out of their melee zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like a battering ram is nice, one of my favourite character traits in the entire game. But because we've got 2-inch melee, you kind of stuck with each other. This just goes, yeah, you're gone and you don't get to engage me. I'm gonna keep running around.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good. And plus movement. So effectively a 9-inch sprint with battering ram, if 2 is quite heavy cost for that. For kind of a weird play. And then you can dodge at the end of it. You've done all this movement.
Yeah.
And then...
So you can give you... If you battering ram into your striker, you can then use flock. They're 6 inches up the pitch.
And for the reaper, you can follow the harvest marker. She walks to the back of Shearer for engineering fix. Harvest marker, that'll be 10 for him.
And then he gets to go.
then he takes turn, you know. And that's like nothing. Yeah, the amount of trouble other guilds would have to go through to get these level of movement. The only problem with Ram, a bit soft. 3-0 is one knockdown away from 2-0. And you know Two Heroes, the fucking dream maker. Yeah. 24 health. 24 health is nice, but that's just more momentum for me to farm out of that person. And, yeah, two armor. Kind of nice. I can easily imagine where you throw Ram in to kind of absorb it.
Yeah.
And then wait for her to get really low down and just go, okay, Herder, remove her.
Yeah.
Now everyone's got two armor. And there's not really much the enemy player can do about that other than leave Ram alive. And then that case, what's the point?
Yeah.
So, and yeah, gets back quite easily. Yeah. I really like this model. I really like the sculpt as well.
Mm.
Looking forward to like painting this one off.
I was surprised it's a 40mm base, but I guess with the battering ram nonsense, it kind of has to be. You can't have a 50mm base charging around, pushing people 4 inches.
I guess
they're going to
nerf the movement a bit, but I don't know.
But it really, this one really feels to me as if it was a 50mm base, and then they went, yeah, that's just a bit too much. I feel like that's what's happened there.
I linked it in too cartoonishly big. It's quite a big model, but... Yeah, as long as it can fit on a 40mm, it's like limited in how big it can be. Yeah, unrelated, these are probably my favourite looking team that they've released in a while.
You've been really excited for them.
Weirdly enough, like for a kind of like footballing team, I didn't know until recently, but after reading the rules, I could kind of give or take. I'm kind of looking forward to a new guild anyway.
Mm.
And I'm kind of more in the, when the Falcon and something like that came out, I was more in the headspace of... I'm quite happy with the guilds I've got.
Yeah.
I'm kind of now way more into playing with the guilds.
Mm.
So it went from being like, well, I'm not going to play at Tom, I play Hunter.
Yeah.
To, I play Brewers, but I kind of feel Mason. Yeah. Or I kind of feel Union, or maybe. So now it's like, hey, Shepard's lined up.
And
I really like the look of the team. I think it'll paint up like a dream. Yeah, stuff like Ram, it's a good, also plays well into the other models on the guild. But yeah, are you feeling a bit down on her?
Yeah, I just... When I was putting her into the... When I tried putting her in the mixer, it was like, what are you getting? I'm getting the non-momentous 2, which everyone else can either get or gives momentously. What else are you getting? I'm getting easy knockdown. I mean, cool, that is nice. You can never sort of... You can never undersell momentous knockdown on one, yeah?
Yeah.
But then I was like, the amount of times I was going, I really need a striker on the other wing or something, you know? And I just... For me, it's just ram out, bush or in, there's me, done. 6, locked.
Quick rule question. For battering ram, if you battering ram a friendly model, do they have to take the full 4?
No, it's a 4-inch push, isn't it? So it's the same as any push ever. Like, when you go 2-inch push, you can push someone 1 inch, you can push them half an inch, you know?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's that thing of, like, suffer a 4-inch push.
Yeah.
Not they get push for it.
No, same as battering ram.
Yeah. Because only fit to the rival, you can like chew, don't you?
Yeah.
Every
day is learning.
I think it's where that thing of like running into a scrum with friendly and going, well, I'll push enemy 4-inch, but my friendly go.
Yeah.
That seems a bit weird. Like what the ram kind of run into the enemy, but not fully into.
Well, it's charging forwards, and you know, and herder sort of stepping out the way. The dogs are weaving around.
I guess that's why the ram's got a rider.
So it doesn't just get insane.
The friends, you idiot.
Yeah. So we'll go on to my favourite squaddy. And I'm gonna try. So I'm gonna Shearer. There we go. So I didn't do it.
Fucking football fan.
So Shearer, he's got a 2-inch melee zone. He is a striker reaper. We've got 6-8 move, 5 tack, 3-6 kick. But we'll come onto that in a moment. He's got a defensive.
I don't know why that cracked me off.
Defense armor is 4-0. Influence is 1-4. Now playbook. We've got a couple of dodges in there. We've got a non-momentous single on 1. We've got a non-momentous double on 3. But the momentum, it obviously, is where this guy is living, and it's great. We've got the momentous tackle on 1, the momentous 2 damage on 2. We've got the momentous trophy for the balls gone on 3. And we've got momentous 3 on 4. Very, very top of the book at 5. We've got tackle, double dodge, non-momentous, right? So yeah, character plays. We know we've got, like I just said, he's got balls gone. Target enemy model loses possession of the ball this model, which may then make a pass without spending influence.
May,
which is awesome now.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that? That was a season 4 change, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He just that ability to eat through cloak control, which is something a lot of...
Mm.
And the fact you can give him cloak control yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, for certain situations, in fact, guaranteed ball possession. Can't actually want that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely can't, yeah. Character traits, all about the game. So this is the penalty mechanic. If this model suffers a taken out condition, friendly models gain +1/+1 kick for the remainder of the turn. Awesome. Which kind of just gives him all football legend, which is what he's got. 4-inch aura, friendly models in the aura gain +1/+1 kick.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Which means that his kick's actually 4/7.
Yeah.
Taps in on 4 inches. And then he's Reaper mechanic, shearing. Once per turn, during this model's activation, it may choose a friendly marker, friendly harvest marker within two and remove it to make a 4-inch dodge.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. So he's an 8-inch sprint, 4-inch dodge, 6-inch kick. Well, 7-inch kick. The only thing is, you know, you're struggling to get the harvest markers down. You're not struggling to get the harvest markers down. There's just not as many to go around as you'd like. And like we said, you can't put them ahead of time, you know, and your reapers, your planters are quite slow. So that's why using the herd legendary to kill lamb was amazing, because it gave me free where to go at where the point where I was picking the ball up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, the fact that 4-inch dodge, when you factor in the Harvick marker, doesn't even influence. Like, if the Harvick marker's going your way, it's effectively a 5-influence striker.
Mm.
And he's got quite good. The only problem I think Shearer suffers from is from track and carve, where dripping the ball and then leaving counter attack range is a problem.
Yeah.
So tackle double dodge is nice, but
hitting it is a trouble. It's high up and it's not even momentous. It's like,
yeah. And then if you've got a close control guy, it means you have to take balls on and not go anywhere. Again, they have answers for that, but they're not, they're like activation. For him to get where they go and close control, that's two activations before he can get started. It's a lot of trouble to go through, but I really like it.
Well, it's three activations, because the planter needs to, lamb needs to go, put the two down, herd needs to go, give him close control, then he needs to go and hope that harvest mark's in the good place.
That's just a human, like they're like next to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Going, like, yeah, they're there just to help Shearer. Two activation can, big ass. But I do like the model.
Yeah. Moving on to quite possibly, my favourite squaddy. My favourite.
Mine too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, I mean, not even just in the Shepherds. I think these two are the goodest boys there. We got Hook and Crook, which, similar to Avarice and Greed, we've got, they're like a matched pair. They're picked as single squaddy during team selection, but they're two models, each on a 30mm base, and they activate simultaneously when they're on the pitch. We've seen this before, Avarice and Greed. We've seen it before, Brain Pan and Memory. What's nice about these two is that they're identical apart from the name of one of the plays. They've got a 30mm base, a 1-inch melee. They are both Reapers. And they've got movement 6-8, attack 5, 2-6 kick. Defense armor is 4-0, then influence is 1-2. At the bottom of the book, we've got momentous 2. At the top of the book on 5, we've got momentous 4. All the way up here, we've got a momentous push, a momentous double push, a momentous 3 in there. But yeah, you're really looking for... They have got a momentous character play, but didn't come up for us.
Yeah.
It may come up for going into other football-heavy games. But yeah, they've also got a tackle and tackle and a knockdown. Really high up the book. Character plays. So Crook has Away to Me, and Hook has Come By. And all it is, it's a cost one cost play where they can make a 4-inch dodge away from each other.
Yeah, I misinterpret them directly away.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to put it. I feel like I've got like a balancing brain. Well, like, I just read what I think makes more like, go, fuck, charge is ridiculous. Go away. That doesn't, you can curve all.
Yeah,
you're
supposed
to be directly away. You can move them, can't you? You can like play them off each other. No, it's like, no, just away. Whatever. Like, oh, no, like, even better.
Yeah. So it's just whichever one it is, it's this model may make a 4-inch dodge away from the other friendly Hook or Crook. Yeah. Yeah.
As long as he's not getting closer to the model at any point, it can take any direction it likes.
Yeah.
Very flexible, very good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then we've got Howl is the other character play. Also costs 1, but this you can also get momentously on 2 hits, which comes with a push. If the target enemy model is in possession of the ball, it loses possession of the ball. Perform a circular scatter with a template centered on that model, and that is a 6-inch range. Nice. Didn't come up for us, but you know.
It didn't come up, but its application is obvious.
Mm.
Like, yeah, 6-inch range, pretty fucking good.
Yeah, yeah.
You can buy it if push really comes to shove,
mm.
And I think it's quite characterful in the sense that you don't really want to tackle with them. You kind of want Howl to. You kind of want one of them to go in and Howl, and then hope the other can affect, take proper.
Yeah, yeah. Like, You the best way to use that would be to either not have to move in the first place, or if you do, Crook or Hook would move and Howl, and then the other one would come in and try and get the ball.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're hoping for there, I guess. So they've got 9 boxes each. On the back of the cards, they've both got herding. So they've both got the character trait herding. Once per turn, during this model's activation, it may choose a friendly harvest marker within 4 inches. Remove it from the pitch. If it does, choose an enemy model within 4 inches. The friendly enemy model suffers a 3-inch push.
Mm.
And we've had confirmation from Mr. Bryce himself, that they can both do that once each.
I've always preferred Perkins himself.
So 6 inches of push just for taking up two harbours.
Doing that bullshit until Perkins
No, mate. We've had Mr. Bryce himself.
Who even is Bryce?
They've both also got litter mates. If this model suffers a taken out condition, if one of them's taken out, the other one gets furious and +4 attack for the rest of the turn. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, we should mention that their cards are identical, other than the name.
Yeah. So because we were wondering if I personally get the vibe. I don't know how true this is. I get the vibe that Hook or Crook did something different. That I feel like maybe one of them dodged away, the other one dodged towards. You know, maybe one was more about pushing or whatever. But then maybe for simplicity, it's come down to the same card, apart from like a couple of just naming differences.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get. Obviously, no idea if that's true or not. But yeah, they're fantastic, and they are so much fun.
Yeah.
Which is just, they're just like, you find yourself when you're playing them, like looking forward to your Hook and Crook activation. You go like, I'm gonna set that up. Hey, the kid, come the dog's here. Who's a good boy? Yes, you are.
Yeah, they kind of operate on like a lot of different levels. Great, kind of like a rock solid playbook.
Mm.
Normally, they can basically give themselves crowd out.
Yeah.
And they've got fairly healthy movement. The only main weakness of them, kind of the 1-inch melee. Like, they're a bit vulnerable at counterattacks, but they've also got tools for dealing with that as well.
Yeah. Well, I found myself using the harvest markers to pull one of your models who I'd damaged, and then you tried to pull them out. Mm. I was using the harvest markers to pull them back in with herding, or I was isolating someone into a scrum.
Yeah.
So they're attack 5, but they're crowding each other out 9 times out of 10, they're attack 6. And then I had Babe. You know, you've got an abundance of 2-inch melee. Basically, if it's not an animal, it's got 2-inch melee in the shepherds, hasn't it? So the amount of times I was rolling 9 dice for each of these guys, they're good. They're momentous 2 on one hit, and then, like we've been saying, that you've got a reliable momentous 2. You've got to go a bit higher up the book. You know, the momentous 3's on 4, the momentous 4's on 5, but when you're throwing enough dice, man,
yeah,
and you're getting 2 hits with each dog.
Well, that's the thing, at the end of the day, even if you biff every dice but 1, 2 damage momentum, not bad to take home, okay? And yeah, the herding can't be understated. I played a game first into Alex and Engineers, Alex had been feeling a bit more football-y, but we pushed the bar out a bit. Yeah, Alex played a completely new guild. They went, oh, Ryan, who do you feel like playing? I don't know, how about my best guild? Been a while, hasn't it? But yeah, the herding, when I was playing, I was going like, oh, well, I was doing it, they could only do it once. Kind of shit. I don't know why. I didn't even like reading it. I just kind of went, eh. He just made sense to me, you could only do it once. Like a fringe push, you'd have to roll for it. You can't have a big marker. But I go, no, and it's fucking super flexible.
Yeah.
Like, it's surprising how much you can do with it.
You can push away for safety. You can push towards to threaten. You can push towards board edge, because if you've got 2 of them, you've got 6 inches. Yeah,
even if it had just the word towards or away, even though that'd be amazingly flexible as well, the fact you can do it anywhere for any reason, and just within 4, you're within 4 half marker. So it's not even tied to there, then being near the half marker. So you effectively got 9-inch range that push.
Yeah.
And 3-inch, rock solid. If I'm playing it again, one per turn, one herding. Then we played. And again, it didn't make a thing of it. I like going, it just makes sense to me that.
Yeah.
Then we were playing. I picked on them, obviously. And you were going, all right, I'm going to have one go up. Right, he does herding for one. Crook goes up. They'll pick up another half marker, another herding. I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be fucking right.
Yeah. You were going, like, because we were going, oh, but it matched pair when the name friendly model was on the pitch, the model activates simultaneously.
Well, the thing we're getting my call one per turn.
Yeah.
So what does that mean in the context of a twin pair, you know, matched pair? Yeah.
And I was just going, well, once per turn during this model's activation, it may. So, like, for me, that's each of them, you know, it's Crook's activation. Yeah, it's also Hook's activation, but once per turn, Hook could do it and Crook could do it. Yeah. And then, you know, I posted a lovely question and the wonderful Bryce came back with the font of all knowledge. He came back with the correct answer, I'd like to call it.
Mm.
Objectively, morally.
That's one way of viewing it. I'm introducing the Guild Ball community rule edition starting now. No, I we had that weird thing where this happens once every time we play with a new miner. We go, all right, I think you can do this. And you go, I think you can do this. I go, I'm fairly sure. But it's like, you know, it basically makes sense. Over the other. Come on, like, right, one per turn during activation. This model are treated as a single squaddy. Single activation. And they're going like, oh, they activate simultaneously. So they're both activated.
Yeah.
And now I'm going like, and then you're going, but yeah, but they're both like two guys. And we had that thing of like going, right, yours makes sense. Mine makes sense. Then Brad came back and went,
Alex's makes more sense.
They both get through, yeah, they both get it. I went, yours don't make any sense. Fuck it. I was just humouring you. I thought I was right. Yeah, it's so fucking good.
Mm. They are, when you look at the cards and you think about them, they're fun. They're excellent. Oh, yeah. They're great. Punishment mechanic. Litter Mates is great, you know, like her. Think of Herder taking one of them out to give the other one Furious and plus 4 attack or whatever. Or like if you just take it, they've only got 9 health, you know, if they go down to a stiff breeze, but they are only worth 1 VP, right? And you sort of look at them and you realise they're fun. But getting on the table is just another level. There is just this giddiness to, here comes the hook and crook activation. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
You get so much out of them. And it is, what I really like about it is, Guild Ball is hugely a game about positioning.
Yeah.
It's about positioning is so important.
Movement is king.
Yeah. And hook and crook, obviously, movement and position is important as well. But it feels other models that are all about positioning and rewarding you for good positioning, I feel like are slightly harder to get to the top of it.
Yeah.
Whereas these two are so, you know, their auras are so big, the pushes are so big. You get that massive I'm a huge genius feeling with very little sort of effort. So like I got to feel like an absolute strategic genius, even though I'm not one. I got to go dog attack, 5 tack goes up to 9 attack because I've done very little, big scary numbers, I'm the best. And you just get these amazing feelings and, oh no, I've moved him out of position. Oh cool, doesn't matter, it's only worth 1 VP anyway. These two are so much fun, they're absolutely fantastic.
Well, yeah, bringing into the 1 VP thing, part of them being paired, they're worth 1 VP each as opposed to 2. You know, because they've got 8 health, 9 health each on 4 in a row. The dice are stiff freeze. But I think this is, weirdly enough, makes Babe a way more tempting target. Because you could hypothetically kill one, you can't be able to get the other, but now Babe's putting you in attack.
Yeah, yeah.
11 against the Shepherd, an 11 VP situation, is a lot less scary than it would be for. Again, against most guilds, if you get an 11 VP situation, it kind of doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Whereas for the Shepherd, you could literally character play a Doctor Death.
Yeah.
Or walk in and go, oh yeah, 9 health, 1, 2, 3, 4, I win.
Yeah.
That I think that's another weird, like, unique weaknesses for the Shepherd. Like, having so many models that are worth 1 VP makes killing the mascot a legitimate alternative to, again, killing a squaddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
Really reliable, and the fact you choose, like, the herding thing can't be overstated. Like, there's almost no situation it can create.
Yeah.
The only bad side is you kind of want to blow 2 harvest markers on it.
Yeah. So it's one of the things I found I was using 2 harvest markers for every single turn, you know. Shearer, it was, am I going to secure a goal out of this? No, right, opposition, get ready for next turn. So Herder, I wasn't using Protect the Ball because, you know, I didn't really feel the need because I was going towards 4-1, maybe 2-2. Hook and Crook, I was using Herder every single time. Yeah. Every single time. It's so good. It's so good.
Well, because melee is sort of big in the Shepherd.
Mm.
Okay, the way we kind of, like, if they've got a human on them, 2 inch. If they're an animal, 1 inch.
Yeah.
So there's so much 2 inch melee floating around that with Herder and 3 inch push, it kind of gives everyone like a kind of like big 5-inch melee.
Yes. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. So good. Like, I just want to play again. I just want to play again with them.
Well, about the first thing before I got on the mic, I was going, if we had more time, I'd happily bash out of the game right now. Yeah, lots of fun on the board. The models are really nice. Can't wait to get them in my hands. And, the herding thing, good for goal scoring, good for positioning, good for control, good for push kills, good for regular kills. If you've got charge, you've got Furious all of a sudden, guess they're out of range, I take my Furious. There's almost no situation where herding just thinking unambiguously awesome.
Yeah. And like, you get it twice.
That is my only pet peeve.
Oh, get over it.
Oh, fuck off. in light of how good they are at pushing, and if they, it's weird, if they had to like move, like take Jack, like that's the way I viewed it. Because the thing I went, like, six-inch push, that seems like a lot. And they took that off Jack when he got, like, 1 inch more for, like, a full stick.
Yeah.
But, like, if his whole activation went into it, 7 inch. I mean, that seems a bit much. So I'm thinking of it going, like, well, they get it on two. But the thing that makes it good is one of them can go in, start pushing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the other can catch up, and then they start pushing.
They're sheepdogs. The ability's called herding.
Yeah, but
they're working together to create motion.
Again, I get that it's all very dependent on... I know this is like Magical Land and all that shit. If everything goes
the thing is, though, it's not. Because we're saying, oh, no, it's Magical Land. Well,
the fact it's 4-inch range.
I got it off every single turn.
Yeah, it makes it really...
Yeah, four is big.
That hard to do.
Yeah, like, there was a fair few times I was going to go for a goal, and I was like, Shearer, no, his is 2 inches, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and the fact it's 4-inch to half mark and then 4-inch from them.
Yeah.
So it's like, gives it this really good range.
It's like 9 inches from the marker.
And you choose the direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you're within 8 inches of the pitch edge and they can get those two herdings on you, I just don't know how you don't just lose that model. One of the things we were talking about, going like having a model who can push well, kicking off, and then someone coming to retrieve it. If Hook and Crook come along for the ride, which with a 3-4-inch push, it's not a big ask. Tell me how you don't lose that model without just packing back to them. If someone comes out and retrieves that model, like, that model's just gone.
Just teleport it.
Yeah, teleport. Yeah. Look, funnily enough, yeah, that first game, it's like the only model in the game. Before we get away with that.
That's what I did. Just teleball it.
Just teleball. Oh, okay. Every strike, I get teleball for now.
All fair wins it. You know.
Yeah, that's unfair. And that funny you mentioned that. That's one of the few footballing weaknesses I found. They don't have. If you've got the ball, it feels like the world's their oyster. They've got so much shit to like just deal with. Yeah. People have the ball. But if it's a free ball, short are just collecting it themselves. Which they've got excellent movement. That's one of the things I.
Yeah, they've got much better movement than the farmers, haven't they?
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's still not, it's not like they're charge around with Fisherman's level of movement. If you boot it into the corner, you just parked it, you grabbed it on Fahad, wandered off into the far corner, and I was like, okay, cool, well, I guess after I scored a goal, so I was like, okay, guess I'm doing 4-1, because I'm not getting that back.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it's dependent on various activation. So, like, obviously, Ram coming in, giving everyone extra movement, but... take a very simple activation. Ram goes behind Herder, 4-inch push. Herder's got 9-inch sprint. That shark, 3-8 kick. For nothing. What shark can have to spend kicks on, Herder can just have. And again, all the costumes with activation. You know, not bad as far as like, and yeah, push dodge on too. Probably gets a better tackle than shark. And you know, how much would he kill for shark having on my mark?
Oh, if on my mark or I'm open, man.
Yeah.
And this guild's got both of them because they can bring Bushel, you know.
Yeah.
They can bring Bushel and Vet Honor. They're the two that they bring over. One Reaper, one Planter from the farmers. We'll fly through them as well because it might have been a while since you had a look at them. So we've got Bushel. She's 30 mil. She is a Reaper striker, 1-inch melee. She's 6-8 move, attack 4, kick 3-8. Defense armor is 5-0. Influence is 1-4. We've got quite a nice playbook for a striker. You know, she is only 1 inch, but she has got that momentous tackle dodge on one. Then we've got the play. We've got the trophy or a momentous two on two hits for the balls gone, just like Shearer. Fantastic. And we've got a momentous double dodge. And at the top of the book, we've got a non-momentous 3 double dodge. Character plays, like we said, balls gone. Just strips off close control. Can make a pass if you want. She's also got I'm open, which is a cost 2, 6-inch range to force someone, but they have to pass to her. Slightly different to on my mark. And then we've got Cabbage Punt on the back of the card. Once per turn, she can take a harvest marker up. And if she does, she can use a character play once during the activation without spending influence. So that's going to be I'm open, you know. So she's taking that and she doesn't have to do it immediately.
Yeah.
So she can be on the back lines, take it away and then run off. And that's when, you know, her and Shearer are bouncing up the pitch. Or maybe they take a wing each. And she's got close control just to...
Yeah.
Icing on top.
I think the only problem with Bushel, generally, is that if you're going to come into a Shepherd guild situation, it's very likely Shearer coming out for her.
Not for me.
It really hurts their influence generation, and it hurts their harvest marker potential to have anyone else go out. Because who are the other Reapers? You either lose Hook and Crook, which I'll get decided, like, they seem just like they're staying.
Yeah.
Not getting rid of fucking them.
Yeah.
Who comes out? You either look at Lamb, which for me just isn't an option.
I really don't think it's an option. I feel like Shepherds are locked out. Obviously, Captain Mascot can't drop because it's a minor. Then it's Hook and Crook have to stay.
Yeah.
And Lamb have to stay. Just but Hook and Crook, because you get so much out of them for so little, and how easy it is to get the best out of them. Lamb, two harvest markers, absolutely essential.
Yeah.
Then so yeah, I'm Shearer. I'm never going to drop Shearer, am I? Because he's football. Yeah. And then some. Yeah, I guess I lose Ram for Bushel, and fingers crossed my harvest markers go well.
But that's the thing, you lose a harvest marker. Herding's going to get you.
I'm going to have to start buying them with Babe.
Yeah, and that's going to. You've now lost three influence out of the gate. Again, if you really want to go for that pure striking, but again, one of the things that makes Shearer really good is harvest marker.
Yeah.
It feels that'd be my thing. I feel like Bushel just replaces Shearer if maybe Hook and Croc come out.
Nah, they can't. They're just too
fun. They generate more influence.
They're just too fun.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like that becomes devastating to their like influence generation. You go from 11 to 10 to effectively you get one cut off from the knee, and then you're spending influence 9 to like keep them kind of active. And then Shearer and Bushel are going to be fighting over that one harvest marker, and like Lamb should and stuff. But you'll be hoping Lamb dies.
Yeah. just to get.
I mean, that would be kind of cool opening play. Just go, yeah, Lamb died. 5.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. The other farmer's player they can bring is Honor, 1-inch melee zone, 40mm base. She's a planter. 5-7 move, attack 4, 3-6 kick, defense armor is 3-1, and influence is 2-3. Her playbook, to me, has always been a bit weird. Like, at the bottom of the book, she's got a momentous tackle, or obviously that non-momentous 2. At the top of the book, on 4, she's got a non-momentous knockdown, or a momentous 3. And in the middle, she's got a momentous double push, or a non-momentous push dodge. For me, I don't understand her. Character plays, she's got cocksure, target-friendly model, ignores the next condition. Character traits, she's got faithful protector because she's got the dog, so enemy model suffer -1 attack when attacking that model. Fields of wheat, once per turn during the activation she can choose a friendly harvest marker within the pulse, remove it, and then place one harvest marker anywhere else within the pulse. So she's got a 4-inch sort of move a harvest marker, which, you know, is useful, but I don't think it's useful enough to take up a squaddy slot. Planting season, she is also planting a harvest marker. And then a legendary surpassing strategy, target friendly, non-captain, within 4, may immediately make a jog.
Yeah.
Nice, but the thing, when I'm looking at her, I'm going to planter, right, who is she realistically replacing? She's either replacing Ram or she's replacing Lamb, yeah. Right? For me, no, she's not, sorry. I'm turning up to a tournament with a Shepherd to bring 7 models. I don't see when Honor comes in.
Well, I mean, first off, like that player book, like she's got 1-inch melee is the problem. But she's got the kind of player book that's not meant to be used. At best, she's meant to tackle someone, pass the ball, or you know, just kind of walk up and push someone vaguely into a scrum and hope they, you know, can't hit back. Like, because she's -1 tack, she's double pushing someone into a scrum situation. Oh shit, you've got armor, -1 tack, 2 crowd out. You know,
Yeah.
Like that kind of the Shepherd and Farmer armor, yeah. Their crowd out potential. Yeah, it feels to me useful. I could, and again, if you overextend or take for example, you know, we go for the push shenanigans. Well, you know, I'm gonna pack to my guy, and he's not gonna be there. I can see her, and or some guy gets out of range of your herding. Like Mason could be a good example. Oh, you're in 4-inch of a derpy dup. Wrecker comes in, push them out.
Yeah.
Good luck. You can have it. Yeah. Put on armor. Don't push Wrecker off.
Yeah.
So that in kind of like, well, I'll reposition now and keep going. The fact she always plants them. I think her and Ram are the ones that compete. Legendary can be nice.
I mean, yeah, I'm never going to say no to a free jog, but.
Well, if she somehow gets the ball in, that I think that's a. If she. In some situation where she has the ball, great. Doesn't have the ball, I can just plant, kind of potter around. For the legendary, I can easily happily have Shearer jog into. Or Herded. Well, non captain. Never mind. Shearer alone. But.
One of the dogs?
Their movement's way too good.
I feel like the trap with the dogs is they're cost one dodge to each other. There's no aura on it, so you can think, oh, I'll put them on a wing each, you know, and they can dodge towards each other. And it's like, well, no, that you get the most work out of them when they're almost on top of each other.
Yeah.
So why would I want something that could separate them?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I could view it like they could cure a wing each with their push potential. But, like, instead of one wing, I'd rather have one wing that's 8 inch than two wings that are 3 inch or 4 inch each. Yeah.
Because then you need a plant on each wing and you're splitting the entire guild up when really you want to be scrumming them together.
It could be that thing where Lamb's putting harvest markers down and you don't want to put them far too forward.
Mm.
Or you've got a plan and they put the foot in the door and feel for weak and just pick them all up, put them somewhere where they're useful, or secure them. Or difficult to, for me, the shepherd chicks, I think, I like them.
Yeah. It is one of them ones where out the box, yeah, cool.
If it were Plowman, I think it'd be a real, like, oh, then Ram and Plowman really compete.
Yeah.
Or Plowman and Lamb. Lamb's really good, but, like, oh, Plowman gets all these other cool things, but he loses the punishment. That'd be a way more interesting choice. And then he could interact with Lamb.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I really want to, like, drum up a reason why he'd bring that honour. For me, the shepherd kicks will always stay. There could be some awesome straps in there. Free jog.
Mm.
But Ram gives me a free 4 inch.
Yeah.
I can't think of a reason why I would not bring Ram every time over Vet Honor. And Lamb just, he's not leaving. So.
Yeah.
That's just that.
Also, Ram and Lamb, babe, should have been called Ham.
That'd be there.
Ram, so, Lamb and Ham, Crook and Book.
Crook Book.
Herder, Shearer, Crook, Hook, Ram, Lamb and Ham.
yeah, we don't even do it like that. Like, Hook, Crook, Herder, Shearer. Like, I'm pushing that one to be fair.
Yeah.
Ram and Lamb, babe. I that's part of my guild. The thing I like in guild ball is looking up kind of weird models and going, oh, how would I make use of them?
Mm.
And the situations where honour would be useful, Lamb and Ram are just better at, and much more better at it.
Mm.
And yeah, I don't know.
Cocksure, I think, is the one thing we're probably not putting enough value in. Yeah. Target friendly model ignores next condition.
That's all well and good, but that's nice, and that's an activation and an influence.
Mm. And 4 inches.
Yeah, I mean, 9 inch range with a jog. Yeah. Getting harder, gets harder and harder, just the more you do it. But for Bushel, or if Shira's got close control, it'd be great to be able to walk out from part and blow.
Yeah.
Just walk past Melikon and go, tackle the knockdown, alright?
Yeah.
Cocksure eats the knockdown, tackle. Hammer gets the part and blow, tackle knockdown. Okay, I eat the knockdown, I eat the tackle.
Bye.
I continue. Yeah.
I continue on my merry way.
But it's also. It's just also like. That'd be good if I just wasn't going to use the other model.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, Plowman would have been the model I'd have handed over for the crossover pick.
But is it not because she doesn't see as much play? Double her chances, put her in two guilds.
Maybe.
Hmm. It's difficult. I want to like her. It's an excellent idea. There's really nice lore reasons to like her. She's got some interesting rules. It's not like we're dropping her because she's boring. Mm. It's just the things she offers other people do.
Because the rules are so weird, you can like going. I can feel.
I feel the draw. You know, there's that hook in your chest just pulling you towards her. You know, but no.
Yeah.
And I think you've talked me out of dropping Ram for Bushel. Just what you're saying there.
Yeah, like I don't think it sinks them too much, but like it puts them in such a low influence territory. And so much of it is just her to get hit, the end.
Yeah. I feel like this might be the minor guild that's come out and has been just the six on its own, so rock solid. It's like when Navigators came out, I was like going, oh, amazing, who draw drop for Angel and Siren? You know, when the Falconers came out, it was going, great, how do I get Vet Hearn in the, you know, like.
I was reading something online the other day in I can't remember which guild ball thing it was, one of the online communities, and a guy was asking the question of, me and my friends are getting into it, I don't want to have to buy 12 models because they're quite expensive.
Mm.
If I only get one box, what's a good box to, I think all his friends were already playing.
Yeah.
And I think I said to him, like, get Punishing March.
Yeah.
It's a real, that team is really solid, they're very, they're newbie friendly.
Yeah.
The captain's awesome, they synergize amazingly well, and they can, like, take out goal score. And they've even got, like, Control.
Yeah.
So, like, no matter what kind of game you want to play, Punisher March can play it. I think this might be the new one where I'd happily suggest, like, it used to be with the farmer, no, £35 each. It's like, oh, just play it.
Yeah.
Don't pay, try £35, get buff boxing. Yeah. Awesome. Now they're, like, £55 a pop on reduced price, kind of. I think this would be a good one for, like, not even new players, but quite an intricate team.
Mm.
But if you only wanted one box that delivered a full range of, like, team, oh. I think this is a good one. And the sculpts are fucking awesome. Again, it's always been one of my pet peeves for Guild Ball, where they're very expensive per model.
Mm.
If you want to just buy one model, it's usually a tenner. Mm. Kind of a hard sell. If you can go, hello, I'm new to Guild Ball, have you got £100? Like a hard sell.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's, I don't know, that's the end of this. If you're looking for a cheap hobby, wargaming is the wrong hobby.
Oh, yeah. Like, when someone's already playing 40k, try and tell them to hand over £110, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to be able to go, if you only want to pay, I think that's one of the strengths of Guild Ball.
Mm.
In reality, you do only need six models.
Yeah.
It's nice to have extras, but
yeah.
If it really comes to shove, it'd be nice to turn around and go, just buy this one box and it'll give you the full range of motion.
Yeah.
I think I think Punisher March and the by hook, is it just by hook and crook? I think that's the name of the box for the Shepherd. I think it's that. The Shepherd Guild.
I'm shrugging, mate.
Their box is just called By Hook or Crook.
Mm.
I'll find out in a minute. But let's try and deliver like a good... let's try and deliver some good copy.
We'll try and remember. Just both racking our brains right now. Trying to remember.
You know what I think? It's like a keyboard being tapped. Intimately.
By hook or by crook.
It's a complete box. I think he could do worse. Like, who do I get, who I want, a level of control, goal scoring, good takeout game, with a level of kind of friendliness. Mm. They've got so much in way of movement and positioning shenanigans for themselves and the enemy team.
Yep.
Yeah, these are, out of all the guilds so far, especially the miners, these are my favourite by far.
Yeah. I must say that it's something I've had with Guild Ball for a while where... So, what do you play? I play Fish.
Yeah.
Do you have a second team? Kind of Navigators, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, where this is the first time I think I can properly be like, yeah, I'll probably be playing these in casually like a lot.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes you more excited because every single release that we've been having, it's just getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, like each minor guild that comes out is more and more and more fun. You know, they've got more character, they've got more interesting stuff about them. You know.
Which is cool. We had that kind of up and down problem where a new guild gets released. Mm. You go, woo! And like, oh, yeah, a new guild. And Cook came out, and I really thought that'd be my guild.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going, just not, for some reason, okay, it's just not a guild I'm particularly feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
It should have been perfect for me. Like, minus one defense already. I get fucking +2 damage, like, chili cookout for damage burning, whatever. But I couldn't get on board with that. Ratcatcher came, even Falconer through the miner for my main guild. Just couldn't quite get on board with it. The first guild I've really played with, I really like the feel, the motion, how much control I have. Yeah, you just feel it. Such a rock solid guild. And yeah, like, good for it. The fact you played a really football heavy game, and I really wanted to play a really heavy takeout game, we both kind of came away.
Yeah, and both were close games. They were both really vital, like, both, they flex really well, you know, and we didn't make any changes to the lineup. They flex amazingly. They've got, oh. Oh man, they're fun.
And the thing I like about a lot of their stuff they do well, they do reliably. Nothing particularly explosive.
Mm.
I think that's where people like, I'll use Veteran Ball as an example. I know it's a bit of a dead example. But Veteran Ball was so explosive, it just felt like you were being hit by this wall of stuff. And you're like, oh my god, what is this guy?
Mm.
With the Shepherd, especially if you're new to the game, if you can walk up with someone with Herder and just get all your attacks, you can do reliable damage.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
Yeah, you do reliable damage. No. You get momentum.
Oh shit, Angel's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, just that ability. If I'm someone playing a new, just in it for the first time, you've got, if you can, get new people into it. I don't think this would be a terrible box to get someone in on. And the models are really nice. Two dogs, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, Hook and Crook.
Yeah, Ram, which looks cool as shit.
Yeah, yeah.
The terrain, all right. Again, I'm not blown away by the terrain.
I don't know what the terrain piece is in this, is it? I'm thinking again, and it's the click of a... It sounds a lot like a mouse clicking, but I'm thinking.
Trust me, it's good. It should be on the Steamforge blog, isn't it? Yeah, like the weaver's wheel and the scatter with like wheat.
Oh,
no, sorry, not wheat. Sheared wool. Obviously. Ah, oh, yeah, Shepherd. Famous for their wheat gathering film. I've got curious how the tortoise sheep to get wheat together.
get collect all that wheat into them.
Yeah, I like how they put a wire between the two sheepdogs and they shave it on down.
I just love the sculpts for Hook and Crook as well. Oh, man.
Yeah. And I thought it was really nice that they baked Shearer off that famous football player Ryan Giggs.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. And I think that's enough.
I think final thought.
Really good fun. Like I said, I think they're going to be my casual playing game, you know. Yeah. My Guild Ball box has every fish player in it, and there's, you know, maybe 8 slots left, which currently is filled by some of the navigators, but I can sit them. I'll leave them home. I think I'll be bringing these guys to club night.
Yeah, and weirdly enough, I think we're one of the few where me and Alex share models.
Yeah.
So when we when we both like, because we're not paying 50 quid each.
Yeah.
I'm going like, we had that. I'm going to have a conversation going, I really want to paint these. So are you okay just handing it over?
Yeah.
But yeah, if no matter who buys it, we always share. So I think this is the one where we're like, I think very especially on the first come out, we're actually going to be fighting over this a bit.
Yeah. Oh, how good. Well, get out there, enjoy your Shepherds, and
yeah, this is not paid for by Steam Fire. Like, I won't bitch about how much it costs if they give me a free box. Bear that in mind. But that my final thought is great guild.
And superb. Yeah.
If you're over an iron about it.
Yeah. They've absolutely knocked them out of the park with these ones. How good. How good.
Yeah. So give it 2 more episodes and I'll be bitching about a broken.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yeah. Like if they become the new navigator.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And if you're listening to this, we've got another episode coming up this Friday.
Yeah, we've got it recorded and everything.
Oh, we've said Friday.
Yeah.
So we've got no other choice.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, if you're hearing this, Alex is in major trouble. Yeah, if you've left it in, you've only yourself to blame.
Yeah. All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much.